T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Lot to get to this hour. Yes, we'll talk about Kim Gardner and our friend Brad Young. A couple of comments from him and some really big insights into that. In the meantime, you heard it at the top of the hour. And at KMOX.com, you can read it right now. Our scheduled guest, someone that I've been looking forward to speaking to, is the author of Why We Can't Sleep, Women's New Midlife Crisis. Ada Calhoun, thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America.
Thanks for having me on.
Let me tell you what happened. I had this book on my desk. We share like a common area where all the different personalities prepare for the show. And I've had multiple people come up to me, in particular our morning show host, Debbie, who said, when you're done with that book, if you don't mind, if you could let me take a look at it. So there's a lot of interest in this topic.
And good.
How's the reception been so far?
It's been incredible. I can't get over it. I've been getting messages like all day, every day since it came out last week from women who have been reading it. A lot of them like are starting clubs, which I'm really honored by.
Clubs? So what would they cover in the clubs?
Like a book club, but they use the book as like a jumping off point to talk about issues that are brought up in the book about being a Gen X woman in midlife today.
Ah, so it has changed over the years. You ever had this conversation, what it was like for your mother during this period of her life?
Yes, I have. And actually, I had this flashback. I was staring at my son's pet turtle last year during a hard time. And I was like, this turtle looks lonely. This turtle looks bored. And my husband was like, you got to get a hobby. Like, stop looking at the turtle and identifying the turtle. And I remember my mother had something very similar where she called and yelled at the paper towel company because Bounty had started putting teddy bears on the paper towels. Mm-hmm. And she had just projected all this rage that she was feeling about other areas of her life onto the paper towel teddy bear. So my turtle was the paper towel teddy bear in my life.
Okay, so you've done research, you've surveyed and interviewed many different people, middle-class Generation X American women. What have you found about this generation that differs from previous generations?
Yeah, so I talked to about 200 or so women for the book, and I stuck to middle-class women, but all over the country and otherwise very diverse. And what I found is they were tired. They were really full of anxiety, a lot of them, not sleeping, scared, especially about money, scared about losing their jobs. And a lot of them felt like they had failed somewhere along the way. We were raised with these really high expectations for what we were going to achieve. And a lot of women told me they felt like they hadn't done enough.
Hmm. What's the age range for a Gen X?
So it's women who are right now in their late 30s to early 50s. The birth years are usually considered like 1965-ish to 1980 or so. Mm-hmm. It's a small demographic, right? It's the millennials and the boomers on either side of us are way bigger, 10 million people bigger on either side.
Yeah. And part of what you found is in large of the people that you interviewed, they are exhausted, anxious, terrified about money, underemployed, overwhelmed, and the doubt of many when it comes to major life choices that have already been made. Now, when you say this is a common type of thread, do you find like how common is like 90% of the women you talk to, or do they all have this sort of burden? Is it that common?
Well, I didn't do a demographic study across America that would say what percentage of American women are feeling this way. I did have a story come out in 2017 on Oprah.com about this subject, which actually led to the book. And the response to that article made me realize that there were a lot of women. I don't know the percentage in America. And the book is really geared toward those women. However many there are, this is a book for women who are having a hard time. So if you're having a great midlife and you're super happy and you're sleeping, you know, 12 hours a night and everything's great, like, don't buy the book. But for everybody else, this is a book for you.
All right. You know, and what's interesting about getting noticed by Oprah, does that add more pressure, more stress to you, or was that something that was a life-changing event for you?
It was a pretty life-changing event. I mean, yeah. I was having a really horrible summer, and I had a lot of freelance work fall through, and I was just feeling old and crummy on a lot of levels. And then this editor at Oprah.com, she called and said, can you write about our generation? And I wrote this story, and it really let me vent about my own experience, and then also it gave a lot of context for what I was going through. So I got to talk to so many other women from my generation who were facing similar things, and it made me feel a lot less alone. And then, yeah, the platform, of course, was amazing because I heard from women all over the country, and a lot of them said thank you, and that they said that they felt seen, and that it put a name to something they've been feeling but couldn't quite identify.
Mm-hmm. So the book, again, called Why We Can't Sleep, Women's New Midlife Crisis, and author Ada Calhoun joining us. So in the side of this book, you mentioned that if things are going well, don't worry about it, but if you got those certain burdens that are on the back of your mind, the weight on your shoulders, mm-hmm. this type of book would be good for you. So if someone were to pick up this book, what are they going to get out of it?
Well, what I've been hearing from a lot of women is that they feel validated by it, that they felt like there were a lot of forces at work against them, and they've been working hard their whole lives. Gen X women are a very well-educated, very hardworking demographic, and we've been through a lot and hit a lot of speed bumps along the way. So a lot of us like graduated into recessions, and then kind of at every point in our career where we could have taken off or should have taken off, we hit one thing after another. So like the dot-com bust, for example, the 2001 recession, and just kind of on and on. And of course, Gen X was hit hardest by the housing crisis. We've been hit hardest by many of the things that have happened in the last 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a older millennial, so I'm 36, so I'm not quite at that Gen X stage, and of course I am not a woman. But what are things that I don't understand about the women of Gen X, something that I just can't understand?
Well, I think you can't understand how much work they're doing and how much they're holding families together in this country right now. So, you know, our mothers and grandmothers, at 40, they were probably empty nesters. If they worked, they probably had jobs that were 9-to-5 jobs. The average 40-something-year-old woman in this country right now is working a full-time job where she's also on call until she goes to sleep at night from her boss via her phone. She is also taking care of young children because she waited to have kids and get married, and she's taking care of aging parents who are living longer than ever with chronic conditions. So she's caring for two generations, she's working full-time, she's on her phone 24 hours a day, and she's going through perimenopause at the same time, which is a very rough period of life for a lot of women and involves a lot of physical problems. So this is a combination that women have not dealt with before. Our mothers and grandmothers had menopause, they had stress, but they didn't have all of these things all at once, and Gen X women do, and that's why they're so tired.
All right, and as you interview the Gen X women, were any of them empty nesters? That's unbelievable to me, because you think about it, you know, you get married early, you start having kids early. The previous generation, they were empty nesters in their 40s. That seems impossible. Anymore, you never find that.
It's very rare now, I will say. And what I think is really interesting, too, about Gen X is we are so spread out across the spectrum. We all kind of made it up for ourselves in this way that I have friends. So I'm 43. I have a 13-year-old son. I have a 25-year-old stepson. And I have friends who are my age who have little babies, like newborn babies. And then I have friends my age who have kids who are like doctors. So and we're all the same cohort. We all went to the same schools, and it's this span of possibility for our age range.
Wow. You mind holding on? I have some more questions for you after the break.
Sounds good.
You know, and people, if they wanted to check out Why We Can't Sleep, you're the author, Ada Calhoun. Where can they find the book?
The book should be everywhere in all the places, all of the local bookstores and Barnes & Noble and Amazon and everywhere.
I do this weird thing where I want to compliment how the book feels in your hands. So as I hold this book, the way that it's designed, you kind of have like what's look like the night sky with the stars in the middle and the print in the middle. And on the left and right side, you kind of have the silhouettes of different people. And there's a distinction between the stars and the silhouettes and the way it feels in your hand. I love the way that feels.
The matte and glossy.
Oh,
I love that too. It's Grove Press. They did such a good job. And then Audible did the audiobook, and they also did an amazing job and added this sort of audio texture. So I feel in very good hands in both the hardcover and the audio.
It feels so good. I don't know why. It's just there's a certain way when you hold a book, if it feels different in your hands. I love that.
Me too.
Who did the audiobook for you? Do you know who the voice actor was?
I did it myself.
They
had me do it.
Ada, yeah. That's awesome. I'm so glad you did that. You know, not a lot of authors take the pride in doing the own audiobook. Congratulations on that side of it. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was super fun.
We'll pick up right after the break, and you can find the book now, Why We Can't Sleep, with author Ada Calhoun. More next on Overnight America KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
I want to thank our author who's spending this half hour on Overnight America. Her name is Ada Calhoun, and the book, Why We Can't Sleep, Women's New Midlife Crisis, which you can find right now. Ada, again, thank you for sticking around.
Thanks for having me on.
So a couple of different ideas and topics that you cover in this, and you look at how most Gen Xers approach certain parts of their life, you know, when it comes to work, when it comes to money worries. You mentioned one thing, raised as latchkey kids by absent working parents, seems to be one of those other trends. The way that we raise children has changed so much over the years, too. I keep seeing studies that come out and people talking about how parents right now with young ones are spending so much more time with their kids compared to how much time they were spent when they were a kid. Those trends are starting to change, but there are effects for those Gen X women.
It's really true. I think that we get accused a lot of being overprotective of our Gen Z and millennial kids, but I think it's probably a response to how we were raised. So, you know, a lot of Gen Xers were, male and female, were raised as latchkey kids, and a lot of the parents were absent and working. There was a boom in crime and abuse and divorce. I think it's 40% of kids from my generation grew up with divorced parents, and it was often not as mediated as it is now. There was no conscious uncoupling back in the 70s. It was always often quite acrimonious. So I think we came out of that, and we've worked really hard to give our kids this sense of security, and, you know, the divorce rate's gone down on our watch. And I think all of that is great in a lot of ways, but then, of course, there are all of these bad things we hear about. And one of them is that women never have a moment to themselves because they feel like they always have to be enriching their children. There's one woman I interviewed said that her mother came to visit and said, you know, why do you play with the children? We never played with you. I think that was very common.
In disciplining, and everything's changed. Yeah. You know, when we have the in-laws are over, there's sometimes I feel like they're always watching us like, oh, they're doing it wrong. You know, it's like, it's, I always get that feeling, you know, if the kid acts up, because we got a 5-year-old and, you know, they look at us, they're like, I see how it is. Yeah. It wasn't like that when we were growing up. You
right.
know, one of the things I was surprised too about how Gen Xers use social media. So as it turns out that the Gen X are more addicted to social media than the millennials and boomers. Is that right?
I found that study so interesting. Yeah, that we spend more time, I think it's an extra half an hour or something, looking at things like Facebook. Whereas, you know, the millennials, they do a lot of texting, they do the Snapchat, they do that kind of stuff. But when it comes to just scrolling through those other people's feeds, that is a very Gen X phenomenon.
You know, one thing you notice, and you said this in the book, which people can find now, Why We Can't Sleep, and author Ada Calhoun joining us, is that the people that you talk to, interview, you feel that they may be, you'd use the term culturally invisible, which is kind of fascinating. Do they really feel like they're kind of like stuck in the middle and people really don't care about their generation?
Again and again, Gen X gets left off every list of generations. There was one, I think it was CBS News, had a generational survey that went viral because it was Silent Generation, and then the Boomers, and then the Millennials, as if these were the only three generations in the country. And you hear this again and again. We've been called the Jan Brady of generations, which I think is very good. Kind of the overlooked middle child. And, you know, we're smaller, but we exist. And then I think also middle-aged women tend to feel invisible and to be invisible when it comes to, say, mainstream movies, you know, definitely director nominations, many areas in which middle-aged women are made to feel like they don't exist. And, you know, I think that the combination of Generation X and being a middle-aged woman often makes people feel doubly invisible.
You know, and one thing you mentioned, too, the societal pressures have changed over the years, too, and the appearance that has to be a big part of things that really factor into a lot of a Gen X woman when it comes to how they feel they'll be treated at work or opportunities in other places, just in general when they're on social media, just mm-hmm. for the self-esteem, all of these different things. It seems like there's a lot of pressure on that front too.
Yeah, it's really true. I heard that over and over again from women, that they felt like they had all these millennials coming up behind them, and they were trying really hard just to look younger and feel younger so that they could be more competitive in the job market. And I think that's part of what's driving this rise in cosmetic procedures. So I think plastic surgery per se is down, but things like collagen fillers are up by like hundreds of percents. Botox is up by 800%. Upper arm lifts up by 5,000%. Like, people are getting creative with the stuff they're trying to fix on their bodies.
A lot of pressures. Okay, so let's say you had the opportunity, which you do in your book, Why We Can't Sleep. But in general, you can speak to all the Gen X women at once. What would your TEDx speech be to them in order to give them some encouragement for the rest of their life?
Well, I would say that the story of our generation does not have to be that we were supposed to do so much and we failed. The story can be that we had really stiff headwinds that we were going against, and we still managed to do a lot with our lives. And we are resilient. A lot of us are funny. A lot of the women I interviewed for this book are very, very funny and very smart and tell amazing stories about overcoming a lot of hardship to build lives for themselves and for their families. So I think we're holding the country together in a lot of ways. We're holding families together, and we should be proud of that and look at what we have and not what we don't have.
You're holding families together. That is such an important part of all of this, really. Because you're right, they get glossed over. You want to make fun of the millennial generation. There's a lot of that online when it comes to making fun of the millennial generation. There's a lot of the making fun of the boomers or whatever it is. There's Gen X right in the middle. And they get overlooked. And the contributions to the family and the ways that they've been able to handle themselves, it's something that does not get the accolades that it deserves.
And I think that's right.
That's good that you point all those things out. Now, the book again called Why We Can't Sleep, Women's New Life Crisis. Where can people find it?
Everywhere, I think.
It's
definitely it's online. It's at it should be at your local bookstore. If it's not there, they can order it for you. It should be at all the big bookstores like Barnes & Noble. It's in audiobook through Audible. And it's in Kindle, also online.
You have a lot of end notes. You took a lot of reference points. You did this right. Now, how long did it take for you to record your own audiobook for this?
It was 2 or 3 days in the studio in Newark,
How hard was it?
I enjoyed it quite a bit. They're a fun crowd over at the Audible Studios, and they made it a party. They have free lunch, which I enjoyed very much. Being a freelancer, I was like, cafeteria. And also, I gave them clips of a lot of the interviews that I did. They were able to work in, with the women's permission, they were able to work into the book, which I think adds a lot of texture to it. So you can hear a few voices from some of the women I talked to.
I love that free lunch. You're thinking, we better make this a fourth day just to make sure. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
I'm sneezing all the time.
Is it like it in the movies or television shows? I know we have a studios here and we record things, but it's different when you do it at that professional setting where you're recording for like audiobooks. But so they have like a producer behind the glass, and are they constantly saying things like, do you mind saying that line again? Or try saying it this way. Are they coaching you through this?
They do a little bit. So definitely, I'd start going too fast because I'm from New York City and I talk fast. And they would say, they'd come in the headphones and be like, you can slow down a little bit. You're getting a little fast. But usually I could get through a page or so at a time without getting scolded. And then every once in a while I'd mispronounce a word or something, or we'd have to look up a name pronunciation and double check it. There was a give and take, but we made it through, I guess, a third of the book or so per day. And it was enjoyable. I liked it.
And one last question. What kind of food did they give you for lunch?
So the Audible cafeteria is amazing, and they have just like a salad bar, and they have a hot bar, and then they've got like these coolers full of any drink you want, and then they have the little counter where the chef makes something special for the day. I would be living there now if they would let me.
Yeah, you need to write another book just so you can get that experience again, or maybe you can sneak in if you know the right code, like, I'm here to record again, and then you just go straight to the cafeteria and leave.
I like it.
The book's called... Why We Can't Sleep, Women's New Midlife Crisis, author Ada Calhoun. You can find the book out there now. You can find it online. Thank you so much for spending a half hour with us on Overnight America.
It's been delightful. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Definitely check this book out. And this is what I would encourage you. Yes, you can order it online. And if you know a Gen X woman, this is something you're going to want to pick up for them. If you're part of a book club, this is a great pickup if you're part of a book club. Better yet, next time you're in a local bookstore, we got so many great ones here in St. Louis. Find the book and feel it. I want you to put this in your hands. I love books that feel good in your hands. Just do it for that sake. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Wow, there's a lot going on in sports. You can go to KMOX.com/ONA and had a nice conversation with Joe Bott. He hosted Sports Open Line tonight, and I wanted to ask him about the Astros situation with Major League Baseball. That was pretty good. I don't think I have enough time to air Brad Young's interview right now. I was going to air it here, but we went a little bit long with Ada Calhoun, but I'm glad we did. I really enjoyed it. So our talk about Kim Gardner, and I wanted to get Brad Young as a lawyer to answer some questions. You know, in general, I don't know about some of these procedural things or how certain things lay out. Brad's excellent at that. So you can get the story at KMOX.com right now if you'd like to. And we're going to do that interview right after 10 o'clock. And if you're listening to this on the replay hour, go to KMOX.com/ONA. It'll be posted right there. But the headline is Kim Gardner sues St. Louis Police Union, others for alleged violation. And I'm not even going to read the end of that news headline from KMOX.com, mostly because we cover this with Brad Young. It's just basically her spreading propaganda, trying to label this as the Ku Klux Klan Act. She's using it as a way to manipulate headlines, to garner national attention. And it's such a fraudulent thing to claim to begin with, that there's this giant conspiracy, everyone stacked up against her. And it has to be racially motivated, not because she's incompetent and she can't do her job and she hasn't been able to make St. Louis any safer. And then she doesn't even prosecute certain cases. She misses details. She's under investigation. She's being looked at by the Missouri Supreme Court. She's going to have to be deposed. She doesn't show up to the other one. She doesn't hand over evidence like she should. We have drug dealers and murderers still walking on the street because she's been soft on crime. Someone posted this on Reddit. Imagine being as bad at your job as she is and thinking it's everyone else conspiring against you. That's Kim Gardner. So I wanted to talk to Brad Young about that. And unfortunately, we just don't have enough time because I recorded this earlier with him. I knew that we'd be a little bit late tonight. And I wanted to make sure I spend the right amount of time with him. So in order to get the whole interview out, we'll wait till right after 10 o'clock. But if you want to call in and talk about it, you can. Here's the number. It's 314-436-7900. Or 800-925-1120. I think most people would agree. You see a lot of people in St. Louis right now very upset with the way that she's handling this. We see a certain cycle of police using their limited resources, the ones that are afforded to them, going into some very dangerous situations, getting confessions from drug dealers, finding people that have committed murder, handing the cases over, and they say, well, we're not going to prosecute it. Or in some cases, if they end up do prosecuting it, they find out, well, we don't got time, so we're going to plea bargain this down. Best example I can think of right now is what happened over at Ballpark Village. There's a bar there. Guy gets disgruntled, leaves, sneaks a gun back in, goes to the rooftop, aims at the person he had a dispute with, misses, ends up killing some guy that's there celebrating his birthday with his fiance, and gets killed before the wedding date. This person goes in front of the judge in trial, and the circuit attorney says, well, we're going to plea it down to 4 years, 4 years in prison. We have instances, and this just happened too. You have a retired police sergeant, served this area proudly and did excellent work in his entire life. Two kids try to carjack him. Ends up getting shot and killed. The person that provided the gun and the accomplice in this is going to go to juvie for a couple of years and get out when he's 21. And because of that, the person that pulled the trigger, the one that killed, said, oh, I want a good deal like that too. These are the type of people Kim Gardner are protecting and allowing to cycle back onto the street. Dangerous criminals. You can have drug dealers that have admitted to being a drug dealer, caught with drugs and a large amount of cash, and then she'll say, well, I don't like you pointing to the police officer, we're not going to take this case. As opposed to putting her petty differences aside, as opposed to looking at what the evidence is, and opposed to doing her job, she's more concerned with the weight that's up on her shoulders for her misdoings than helping the city of St. Louis. She needs to get out of office. If we're going to advance at this city, we got to get her out. Done. It's not racially motivated. But somehow, I'll read this one more time in case people in the back need to hear it. Imagine being as bad at your job as she is and thinking it's everyone else's conspiring against you. I want to take a couple of your calls on this, and we'll do that real quick. Let me go to Arthur before we go to break. Hi, Arthur.
Hi, Ryan. How you doing again, my friend, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much. What's going on?
She should be fired, Ryan. She don't know what she's doing. If I was the prosecuting attorney, all the murders get 15 years.
Mm-hmm. They go soft. They go so soft, and what happens? Like that one guy, again, 4 years in prison for cold blood murder someone. He's going to be back out on the street. What do you think he's going to be doing?
The same thing.
Yeah. What do you think the drug dealers that are getting cycled back on the street are going to be doing?
The same thing.
Yeah. And I don't understand why we go so light on these things. Yeah,
right.
The people don't want to go light on these things. It's what happens is activism goes beyond her office, and she is trying to use this to push her own whatever.
And you're right about that, Ryan. See, I go to church in this city on Sundays, and I see drug dealers everywhere, and I don't even see the cops around to lock them up.
Yeah. Ferguson,
Missouri. I've been out there for 39 years.
You're seeing drug dealings on Sunday morning?
Yes, sir. Going to church.
We almost
had three accidents in that church bus. Me and my brother, he picks me up.
Mm-hmm.
And we sit there and watch them welding and dealing.
No shame, just open air on a Sunday morning.
Yes, sir.
How long is it getting worse?
Yeah, it's getting worse in the city.
Yeah. How long have you lived in the city?
I stayed in the city 15 years before I moved out in Ferguson. I had two houses in the city, and I sold both of them and brought me a house out in Ferguson.
I see. Wow. Well, Arthur, I wish things were getting better, but they're not.
My grandson got killed in the city, and they ain't did nothing about it. He was 28 years old.
Can you share that story? What happened?
A guy called him at my house, and he met him around the corner at Highway 70. And he took him in the city and shot him. And the police called us like 1 o'clock in the morning and said, go over to Barnes & Jewels and get your grandson. And she got shot for nothing. It was all in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and everything. And then the police kept calling her, talking about the guys went out of state. Now, if you know where they went out of state, you're supposed to went and got them and brought them back. They don't go out of state. Yes, they do.
Wait, so they found the person, and then they decided not to cross state lines to catch the person?
Yes, sir. Wouldn't go get them.
So you know who the person is, and they're still out there?
Yes, sir. They know who did and didn't do nothing to them.
You got
to
be kidding. That's so frustrating.
It's real, Brian. It's real. I used to carry a gun for 23 years, Ryan. Now I got to put my gun back on. It's getting bad out there. I have seal and carry, so you know.
Yeah. Well, I have to. No one can blame you. No one can, Arthur.
You go to the store, Ryan, they're shooting people at the stores and everything.
That's just terrible. I hate
that. It's bad. It's real bad.
Well, thank you for sharing that story, Arthur. Good to hear from you.
Okay, Ryan. Take good care of yourself. We'll be talking again, my friend.
Please call back soon.
I will.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Wow. Wow. We know in the city of St. Louis that we got problems. We got lots of problems. The problem that may be one of the toughest ones to swallow right now is that we're compounding our problems because instead of removing the problems, which is the ones that are committing some pretty violent crimes, we're instead, for whatever social reason that's in Kim Gardner's mind, allowing to cycle them right back onto the street to do the same crimes over and over and over again. It's a shame. There's got to be a change here. All of these different laws and things they bring up at city council, like I brought this up yesterday on the show, the idea that they want to put a bill in place that in the city and county that would allow taking guns away from domestic abusers, that convicted domestic abusers and people that have restraining orders out against, you know, women in domestic disputes, things like that. And the first reaction was, and this is the not the reaction you should have, but my first reaction was, would it even matter if Kim Gardner's in office? Because would they even, one, prosecute the people? Because they're going to look at it as small potatoes. So will it even get to the point where they're going to put them in front of a judge to begin with? Or number two, are they just going to plead down so they don't have to admit guilt or whatever it is? Does it even matter? You got to, if you're going to do all of these things that you want to say are going to help the city of St. Louis, even if you're progressive, I know what Kim Gardner is trying to do here. She's trying to make the play that, oh, there's, it's not me, it's everyone else. So she's trying to play the race card so she continues to get the vote next time she's up for re-election or whatever it is to try to save her own hide. And that's what if the plan is that, this is what I'm really hoping. I hope there is an awakening in the city of St. Louis where people that would normally be fooled by that would say, not this time, we're not seeing the results. Drug deals are still high, murders are still high, and part of the problem is repeat offenders are put right back onto the street. We're not believing this. We can see for our own eyes that there's problems in St. Louis, and there's a very common denominator when it comes to the problems, and it's the circuit attorney's office. I think people can see that. I really do. And I'm praying that people see that. Because if there's going to be any progress in the city of St. Louis, you have to change that first. So there is a system in place that will get these people and keep these people off the street that commit these crimes. 314-436-7900. That's the number. You can call or text that line, or 800-925-1120. We'll take some more of your calls coming up on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. You can follow on Twitter at Ryan Recker. You can text in if you'd like. Looks like no one's texting tonight. We haven't had a text message in the past 12 hours. So go ahead. You can be the first to text into the show. Let me get to Frank, who's been holding on. Hello.
Thanks for taking my call, Ryan. Sure. I appreciate what you do for the radio station and the listeners out there.
Great. Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Hey, you know, the town I live in St. Louis County is St. John. And they have restrictions on most everything you can build onto your house. And I went to go build a greenhouse, and they told me because I had a garage, I couldn't have two sheds or two outbuildings in the backyard.
So you had like a detached garage.
And I'm blind, so being a gardener and everything is really hard. I needed a lot of assistance. I recently got some grow boxes called Earth Box. Have you ever heard of those?
No, I know about, are they like above ground boxes that you put in your backyard?
They're above-ground boxes that you put in on your patio or deck or something if you don't have a yard to grow container gardening. The ultimate way, they put a dolomite strip of chemicals in there to make whatever you're growing juicier, fatter, and sweeter, like tomatoes and peppers and things. And it's not the standard size, but the advanced size, the largest one that they make is about 3 foot long, 2.5 foot across, and 2 feet deep. And it has a water tank in the bottom of it with a float built in. And so you fill it up to the level of the float level, and you walk away. Honey, I'm on the radio.
Did you only look at my bag in the bedroom, or where did you go?
Honey, okay. I can't talk.
She thought Sorry, you were talking to some of your gardening enthusiasts. Some of your friends that are also gardeners, it sounds like.
My wife.
Yeah. All right. So what does this have to do with what we were talking about before with Kim Gardner and some of the crime we're issuing or seeing in St. Louis?
Oh, well, it's medicinal marijuana that I'm afraid becomes legal here in Missouri. I guess it already is. But when it becomes recreational or something soon, we're going to have a bunch of hippies and potheads running around the streets, and I wonder what the crime rate will be like or if they'll just be peaceful.
Oh.
I know that you can't have a medicinal marijuana license and own a handgun and have a conceal and carry permit at the same time.
Well, Frank,
choose one or the other.
Yeah, you mentioned, so the reason why you're talking about those above ground growing is because you think people are going to use them for marijuana.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Are you using it for that purpose?
No.
Okay. How many of these do you have?
I have 11. They're $100 each, and they come the lightest, most fertile organic soil they make.
Yeah. Oh, it comes with soil.
Well, it's like $250 for 11 boxes worth of soil.
Oh, I see. Okay. Wow.
And then shipping 50.
Okay. So that's what you're concerned about right now, that we're going to see the spillover, the enthusiasm from Illinois. People are going to start growing it themselves.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think there might be some merit to the idea that with the lack of supply in Illinois, with everyone going out and buying this sort of thing, that some people may be able to look at this as an opportunity to grow, sell, purchase, you know, things like that on their own dime and try to cover it up as if it was part of Illinois. I don't know if that's the case, but, you know, a lot of these small communities where you see these sort of things happening, I don't think you're going to find the drug dealers growing in the back patio with a couple of boxes. I think you're going to see them getting supplies from other places. And yeah, I don't know. It might be a little bit of a stretch.
I would just hate to think our government sponsors gambling, and now what next? Prostitution?
Yeah. I know what you mean. A lot of people support that, which is terrible. It's absolutely terrible. All right. Thank you, Frank. Good to hear from you.
Take care, man.
Okay. Hopefully you're not in trouble with your wife. Hopefully she knows. And right now he's going back, honey, I was talking to KMOX. What do you want? I can hear him saying it right now. I can tell. He's going to think we're still on the line. I'm just spying in on the house right there. All right. We got a couple of minutes here. I was going to talk a few other things. You know, mainstream media is finding ways to sympathize with Iran. Maybe we'll talk about that. But they continue to track, MRN, the media research? They continue to look at how the three major networks, the over-the-air networks, the CBS, NBC, ABC, cover in their nightly news President Trump, still three-fourths impeachment talk, 93% negative. When they talk about these things, It's about the guests they bring on, the approach and how they handle the news, and are they bringing in some sort of person that could bring in opposing point of view. The answer is they're not doing that. 93% negative. Still, President Trump, with his approval rating, seems to be doing all right now. It's not in the tank. It actually seems to be growing, depending on what you're looking at. Rasmussen certainly is one of those that have been flattering to him. You also see that when they do certain polling, he's still doing pretty well when it comes to just the general election by itself. So despite what the mainstream networks are doing, maybe we'll talk about that. Man, they're doing everything they can to try to hop on the back of Iran, aren't they? Oh, everything they can do. I also wanted to mention what happened at the Oscars today. Maybe we'll get that in the next hour. We just don't have a lot of time. But the thing with the Oscar talk right now is that what they're doing is trying to make it sound like just like Kim Gardner would probably bring it up this way. There's a giant conspiracy against women when it comes to awards and the Oscars. I wouldn't say that. Hollywood is probably the most wokest group of, well, at least self-proclaimed wokest group of people. Ricky Gervais did an excellent job at the Golden Globes just a couple of weekends ago, pointing out just how hypocritical the wokeness level is right now. So if there is a group of people to discriminate against women, you wouldn't think it would be Hollywood. Either that or maybe they're the worst group of people. I don't know. I guess you can spin it any way you want. But the nominations for Oscars came out today, and some people are upset because there's not enough women that have been nominated. So maybe we'll get to that. I think it's a pretty flimsy argument to begin with. Also, next hour in about 15 minutes from now, our friend Brad Young. So Brad Young from Hairstyle, Fisher & Young. Maybe about 10 minutes from now. It's actually a lot sooner. I wanted to ask him about some of the details with the Kim Gardner lawsuit, some of the reasons why he thinks this is coming up, what's the merit of it, what's the coincidences of it. There's a lot of coincidences that are pointing to why she would do it this week. And also, lawmakers in Illinois are proposing a bill that would address sexting in sex ed class. That's kind of an interesting one, too. Maybe we can talk about that. Still 2 hours left on the show. Unless you're listening to this on the replay hour, then, you know, have a good night. It's Overnight America, KMOX.com/ONA. I'm on Twitter at Ryan Recker.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.